Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. Friends, allow me now to introduce you to James Flaming Eagle Mooney, Elder and Seminole Medicine Man.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. I tell you, another individual that's unafeared. You know, we got James Mooney here, a.k.a. James Flaming Eagle. Now, let me tell you how this sounds familiar. What happened was, not too many weeks ago, there was a ruling in Utah saying that, you know what, you can do drugs if you belong to this particular church. Now, you would imagine, now we can get all the details, but I tell you, that's how it was perceived by the vast majority of Americans across the planet, because this is what happened. In Utah, you have, you know, if you have anything to do with the church, guess what? The Church of Latter-day Saints, a.k.a. the Mormons, they're never going to say anything about, oh, no, the state outweighs the church. Nope, 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 it's not going to happen there. Well, what happens is, here you have a Native American church that uses peyote, which is we'll get into details of what peyote is. And then we have the ruling is that, look, if it's part of your religion and your religious ceremony has been going on for like ever, and that's part of your religion, well, guess what? Protected. So this is First Amendment stuff going on, and I'm interested in getting the whole details on this and how the future. I mean, think about it. You know, there's a lot of people go, you know what? I got religion, and I pick yours, all right? So let's go ahead and introduce James Mooney. James, I got you there?
Yes, you do. Right here.
Okay, Jim, are you on speaker? If you're on speaker, try and get off so we can...
Yes, I'm off the speakerphone.
Okay, there you go. That's much better. Okay, now what we're going to do is I want you to go ahead and share with the audience what was in controversy. Why were you in court? When did this start? Go ahead and give me your... You know, take as much time as you need. We got an hour here, but, you know, go ahead and do your 10-minute spiel, man. Give me the history on why you were in court in the state of Utah.
Well, in the state of Utah, in 1999 and at the beginning of 2000, state of Utah raided a bona fide Native American church. And when they did that, they didn't realize the powers of the Native American church. And so when they discovered that the Native American church was bona fide and it had the powers to, the rights to be able to disperse through ceremonies, peyote, to non-federally recognized Indians, they were pretty upset. And so they, but when they found out that we were legal, they had a choice. One, to say, whoops, we made a mistake. Or two, let's slam dunk them and get them to plea bargain. Well, when they did that, my wife and I decided we're not going to plea bargain because they had arrested us after the raid of our church trying to get us to plea bargain or so that they wouldn't be looking like they something wrong. Well, when they wouldn't drop the charges at the 4th District Court of the state of Utah, our attorney filed an appeal to the Utah Supreme Court saying they can't even prosecute it. Why they're doing this is just totally unconstitutional. Well, the state of Utah Supreme Court accepted the case. And then about 3 years later, which was 2004, we argued in front of the Utah Supreme Court, and whereupon on the opening statements of our attorney, the Chief Justice Durham asked, is this an attempt to prosecute a church? And our attorney said, yes, it was. And it was downhill for the prosecuting attorney from then on. And then the about a month later, the Utah Supreme Court the government has no say-so in the ideology of a church. And if they want, and if you're trying to be prosecuted because of you don't fit into the right racial denomination of what the government wants you to do, you can't do that. And so they ruled unanimously in our favor that freedom of religion is alive and well inside of the state of Utah.
Okay, now when was this? Oh, so there's more to it. Okay, go ahead. Because there was a recent thing. Go ahead and build up to where we are now. I apologize for interrupting. Go ahead.
No problem at all. Well, the state of Utah Attorney General's Office lied to the U.S. attorneys stating that I was lying about my authenticity of being able to open up a Native American church. I mean, literally lied. And then they had the DEA agents also lie on a stand saying that I was a fraud and everything I did was inappropriate and illegal. And so they brought, underneath the Patriot Act, they brought charges against my wife again, and because they can take hearsay under the Patriot Act to get an indictment. Well, when they did that, my attorneys realized that the U.S. attorneys didn't do any due diligence in this particular case, and they suspected that the state of Utah had done some illegal activities, and so they did the due diligence for the prosecuting attorney and found out that everything I had stated before was absolutely true, and that the United States government, under the promptings of the state of Utah, had lied and failed to submit exculpatory evidence that would have cleared up the situation real nice-like. So my attorneys, after doing DEA or DNA testing and sending investigators to Florida, Texas, going through graveyards, realizing that I was actually totally honest with everything, they went to the prosecuting attorney and said, we're in deep trouble. And so they went to the federal judge in charge, both prosecuting and defense attorneys, and basically said, we've got to drop these charges before it gets into a court, which is a scheduled evidential hearing. And then they were all upset, so they ended up dropping all charges prior to the evidential hearing, which was told to me is the first time in the history of our nation's judicial system that has ever been done. Well, also, at the same time, at the United States Supreme Court had made a ruling with the UDV versus the United States, basically saying that the Native American Church, the laws that are protecting it under the First Amendment, made a statement that basically you don't have to just use, I mean, peyote is not the only thing that you can use under this protection of the law. In this case, it was ayahuasca, which actually opened the door to all herbs known to be grown by Mother Earth can be utilized by the Native American Church as its sacrament. And that happened in 2006. But all of these rulings and
okay, now that's a good place to stop there as we go into break. We'll be right back with my special guest, James Mooney. And what did it say? Mother Earth gave us an herb. You know, guess what? I got religion. Well, we're going to talk more to James Mooney and see just exactly how that's going to play out. We'll bring it right back up to speed from right there when we come back on Declare Your Independence of Me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Knows we want to just break free, and which God? You know, what kind of God do we got to limit that to? That's one thing that I definitely, I'm certain, came up in this trial. Now, let's go ahead, and we want to pick it up from where we left off, but that's a good point to bring up, James, is when they're talking about a church, it used to be, the reason I bring this up is because when they were recognizing land patents, you know, I was talking to a constitutional professor, Butler Schaefer, he's a law professor, and he was saying that when the Native Americans were in court, and they'd say, hey, you want, we use white man's court, and guess what? We say, this land right here that you're taking, it's not yours, it's ours. And they go, we don't recognize your claim because you be heathens, okay? You're not the Protestant, Christian, Western kind of whatever that we recognize, and we got pieces of paper, and the big white chief from back in Washington says, and you know, sucks to be you. So I'm going, all right. So as we now get more modern day, we're going into white man court, and you're starting to make claims about ceremonial use of the earths, you know, and then, of course, a great spirit or whatever, how you want to couch it. But, you know, we have these herbs being used in our religion. Did they ever get to the point of the prosecutors trying to say that, you know, past precedent has been such that we don't recognize a heathen religion? Did that even come up?
No, it didn't, although it was assumed, because that's what the whole situation has been going on since they took over, since the European people landed on this, is that they had a formulation called the, what was the name of it? Destiny.
Manifest Destiny.
Manifest Destiny. And that was because they're on the sides of God and we were just heathen. And so they utilized that for almost 200 years to take over this land. However, now they put in what they call the Bureau of Indian Affairs to oversee everything. And all they're really doing is trying to keep the Native American culture suppressed even to this day. And usually the people that influence the Bureau of Indian Affairs are religious dogma organizations that believe that they're the only church that is sitting on the right side of God, you might say. And there's a couple of religions that believe that, not just one. And so with that, but what's going on now, because Native American people, primarily the ones that did not, were not raised on reservations, but Indians that were probably our descendants from the Trail of Tears or escaped from the reservation system, so where their spirituality wasn't suppressed by the Bureau of Indian Affairs on the tribal grounds. And that's where I actually came from. I'm a Seminole, but my people, direct ancestors, escaped from the Trail of Tears, and I learned the spirituality from the people that hid out from the Bureau of Indian Affairs off of the reservation, so they maintained their spirituality and without the suppression of the Bureau of Indian Affairs having on their tribal governments.
Now, that's a good explanation. But I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your thought, but I want to make sure we pick it up where I promised the audience we'd pick it up at the all herbs are now, you know, sacrament, you know.
We could take it up from there because what in reality in 1876 under the Dawes Act in relationship to the Rosebud Reservation, there was a law signed into law that went through the House of Representatives to the Senate and then signed into law by President Grant stating that the American Native culture is totally entwined with the earth. In other words, making the Native American spirituality a earth-based healing religion. And so in 1918, when the Bureau of Indian Affairs did everything in the world from killing off all the medicine people to outlawing the culture, because the culture is manifested by our ceremonies. That's how we keep our culture alive. And so they were trying to outlaw all of the ceremonies that were being done in the United States, not just on the reservations. And so my great-great-grandfather, who was James Mooney, an entheologist for the Smithsonian Institute, argued against making this law, and he actually lost in the House of Representatives, but then they used his argument in the Senate, where it prevailed, and they killed that law. And afterwards, my great-grandfather wrote the first bylaws of the Native American Church in 1918 and persuaded the Native American medicine people to spirituality underneath the Native American Church. And that was incorporated in 1918. And the reasoning for that was to open the door to non-federally recognized Indians so that they could be protected under the First Amendment. But ever since then, the the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the different Christian proselyting churches and people that have more interest in commerce and taken advantage of suppressing Native American spirituality has clouded the entire judicial system, thinking that Native American spirituality can only be utilized by federally recognized Native American people, which is totally absurd. And also trying to say that the only herb that they can utilize in their sacrament ceremonies is peyote, which is also absurd. And so now you have a situation where the Indian groups have stood up, and because I had a lot of elders standing with me saying that, hey, all this has been nonsense that's been teaching you, and basically they're saying the war on drugs is over with, because in our belief, the war on drugs was actually motivated to suppress Native American spirituality, starting with peyote and then marijuana and all these other types of things, which are proven unequivocally to be healthy rather than all the propaganda saying that it's destructive and the whole thing. As a matter of fact, Harvard did a test on peyote and the use of peyote and found out the consistent use of peyote, people score higher in most of the mental and emotional indexes than people that do not take peyote. And so you ask yourself, why is peyote and cannabis outlawed if they're actually of help to you people? And you have to come down. It's totally racial, trying to suppress the Native American spirituality.
And they want to keep everybody stupid.
That's exactly right.
So that's what
our major goal and objective is we really believe that the war on drugs is over with as long as people understand if they join hands with us, then that war on drugs is over with. I mean, because they cannot fight the First Amendment.
Well, when we come back, and we're going to go into the break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about how can we join them in the fight. What avenues are available to us? Do we got to get religion? You know, is there, you know, get our religious card and become a junior medicine man and then we can medicate ourselves? Now, how does this work? Well, you think about it. You know, there's a lot of options. Oh, and James Mooney is part of LEAP. Think about why that might be. Law enforcement against prohibition. Oh, we'll get to that, too, when we come back. Didn't know, did you?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
You know, the one thing, American woman, that's what I want to think of every time, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, how the government's going to take care of me. It's like, you know, get away from me. And if you're a Native American, you're like going, you know, the American woman that you're messing around with me is not the America that they're thinking of. So I'm just every time that we have the government trying to impose their social and economic engineering on you, it always brings to mind, American woman, just get away from me. Well, you know, there's one thing that we need to understand. James Mooney was part of that American woman. I mean, he was in the government. Heck, he was in law enforcement. That's how you, it's part of his bio here is that it's law enforcement against prohibition. He's a national speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. I mean, we've had other LEAP gentlemen on the show before, and I'm just going, how in the heck did you get to be in both places on this? One, you're in law enforcement. Then, of course, law enforcement against prohibition, I can understand that, you know, as a transition of any human being that can understand what's really going on. But from law enforcement into a Native American church that's practicing the use of drugs, I mean, you gotta bring this all together for the audience, man, and me.
Well, in the early 1980s, I was very much in the wanting to serve our country and serve my community, and I had the opportunity to go undercover and also to develop a Native American program in the prison systems of the state of Utah. Well, I first started the my undercover work in about 1989.
Okay, undercover of what? Nuclear weapon proliferation? Drugs? What?
Drugs. I worked for the Washington County Task Force in southern Utah. Did that for about 7 years. And at the end of the period of time, I realized three very important things. One is I realized that I'm not solving a problem. I'm actually part of the problem. And that happened when I heard a little boy crying for his mother had two CIs inside of a house making a buy. And when I heard this little boy crying for their mother, I knew I'm going to take that mother and father away for nothing less than 10 years. And I said, holy hell, what am I doing here? Then another thing that happened to me was that I realized the corruption that drug and wars is doing to our local authorities. And I don't want to go into that story right now, but I just realized...
No, we know. It's corruption. You got a bunch of money, you get corrupt. That's just the way it is.
You're right. And there's the other major reason, though, that I really got off, and every judge that's part of LEAP, every undercover person that's and a DEA agent and prosecuting attorneys will all tell you, this war on drugs is totally, completely unconstitutional. And the only way that they've been able to pull this off is because good people let other people run the government instead of having the good voice of yourself and your truthfulness of yourself being heard. You got all these wahoos that got financial investments in suppressing the Native American church, in this case, of its civil liberties because of money. The pharmaceutical industry, the oil industry, all of these are benefiting immensely on the suppression of Native American culture.
Okay. So, now, let's go ahead.
That's the reason I got out.
No, I can understand you got out, but, I mean, what'd you do? You started your own church right away? You were already part of the church?
I was already part of the church, and I bought into the same thing everybody else has bought in, that Native American church could only have federally recognized Indians in the church. And then I realized that's totally unconstitutional. I mean, that's absurd. It's like saying for the Roman Catholic Church, the only way you could be part of the Roman Catholic Church is if you were born in Italy, for God's sakes. I mean, that's...
Okay, so now we're looking at how is it that we can join the church? So if anybody can be it, and all of a sudden, I'm a great spirit-worshipping individual. You know, I'm like, you know, give me my drugs, okay? Because that's what a lot of people are thinking. You know, they're going, the drug war is over. And all you know what? I am kind of a great spirit guy. I am kind of the natural herbs of the earth I'm in tune with. I am kind of, you know, whatever justification they can use that they go, you know what, sign me up. So they go on. We got the link on it today. Today's archive on freedomsphoenix.com. You go in. What is today's date? Today's date is August 31st. No, September 1st. September 1st, 2011. You go to September 1st, 2011 archive of Declare Your Independence, and you'll see James Mooney. Just Google James Mooney, Declare Your Independence, and you'll have this show. And you go down to the bottom of today's archive, and you'll see some banner ads there to his webpage. And you click on that, and the person that really has been pushing this for, oh, wow, since the Utah ruling has been the sales manager, Thomas. And he's just going for Freedom's Phoenix, and he says, Ernie, you got to get this guy on, man. He's really good. This is the war, drug war's over. And I'm going, okay. So his big thing is pushing the concept that you can go to your website, sign up somehow, and become part of this protection for making use of natural herbs. So I want you to explain that to people.
Okay. The Native American Church is recognized by the United States government and the United Nations as a religion, period. Meaning that any plant, any substance grown by the earth is considered sacred by the Native American Church and can be utilized as a sacrament for them. And so and then all of the activities of the Native American Church on who they want to bring into their fold or who the or what sacrament they want to utilize is decided upon the particular church's ideology. The ideology of Aklava Native American Church is simply we accept anybody regardless of their race, financial, and or political positions in the United States. We accept anybody and everybody. And one of my major reasons to having the open door is one, is that the Great Spirit doesn't select who can be part of their church or take their sacrament. I mean, it's for all people, for goodness sakes. And if I would say that the Bureau of Indian Affairs says you can only have Indians in there, you know, give me a break. I'm not going to pay any.
Okay, so I sign up, and I guess my defense in court would be, hey, man, I got my card from. And if I got my card and my letter and my whatever affiliation with the church, that means there's a list somewhere, and the bad guys, you know, here they come, they're going to want to get that list, and you got to give them the list. How's that work?
No, they can't do that. They can't. There's no legal groundwork for any government agency to get my list. Nobody. And they can't. And I'll fight to, I'll take it to the Supreme Court, and they know I will. I mean, I'm not known to be a kind of a wimp in the state of Utah, let me tell you.
Okay, so you're so there's a special designation for, you know, this is why the Mormon Church, Church of Latter-day Saints, I can see that they're, you know, they want to maintain some kind of a special status that you guys have. I mean, are you like incorporated or not, or you have dual status? I mean, you know, what does it make
both.
Special? Well, explain that
both.
To me.
We're incorporated in the state of Utah. Like I said, we're an incorporated church, and we have a tax federal tax ID number. But we also are a what they call a free church, which means we are recognized by the United States government as a bona fide religion without being incorporated. We are both because we were blessed by the Rosebud Reservation to take this medicine to the white people. And Leslie Fulber, who's passed on since then. And the Bureau of Indian Affairs did everything in the world to destroy that blessing that was given to us, but it so happens we happen to have it recorded and signed by the president of the Rosebud Native American Church on a piece of napkin. It's which is enshrined in his face, if you know what I mean.
Oh, and, man, you can see how this is getting more and more. I got a lot more questions. I know you guys do, and I'm going to try and think of all the questions I know you want answered when we come back here on Declare Your Independence.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, we want to make sure that we get to some of the nitty-gritty questions that I have for James Mooney. Now, let's go ahead and let's get some things real clear right up front. What is the name of your church or your religious organization, and what do you call it? Do you call it a church? What is it?
It's the name of it is Akahava, which means unstoppable river. That's Seminole. That's the river that flows in front of my tribe in Orange Springs, Florida, and we've been there for hundreds of years and still practicing our sacred ceremonies, which is called the Green Corn Ceremony.
Okay, now I'm from Florida as a kid, and I know the Seminole Indians was a Florida tribe. How the heck did you wind up in Utah to have this debated in court? Where'd that happen?
Well, my ancestors escaped off of the Trail of Tears in southern Missouri area, and where I was, my grandfather and grandmother were descendants from the escapees off of that. And then I was living with them for a period of time, and then I was brought to California and raised as a white man, to be frank with them. And I didn't really find out about my heritage until I was about 41, 42 years old. Stories on the website.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get into when you were talking about a real church as recognized by the government. I mean, define that. How many real churches are there? What does that mean?
Okay, I only know of three. That's the Native American Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the Catholic Church. They're the only three. And they but there could be more. But they are recognized by the United States government without being incorporated as a church. An incorporated church is simply a church that has incorporated themselves in a state basically so that they can have tax relief for no sales tax, etc. That's the reason I advise most of the churches to go ahead and incorporate within the state or at least register themselves within the state. And a church with the United States government is the only that does not have to submit any type of, or they don't have to have a tax ID number. Churches do not have that. It's very unique for a 501(c) not to have a tax ID number, but it's not required by churches.
Okay.
So
let me go ahead and I want to follow this line of questioning with you. Let's go ahead and get through this. A lot of questions. One. Let's say I go, okay, I'm with you, brother, man. Me and the Great Spirit got it going on, and I choose to join, and I'm going to get my secret decoder ring or whatever from the church. I got my card, my letter, my whatever evidence, and I get stopped by the man, and I show him this card, and they go, peace be upon thee, and we're done.
Well, that's not happening right now because there's not that many churches, and most of the law enforcement agencies don't know about what we're talking about outside of Utah. But right now, I have people in Utah that are being stopped, and they show them that card. The cops don't want anything to do with it because the moment they look at that card, they're on notice that they're dealing with a person that falls under the guidelines of the Native American Church. That you can, they have an exception to the laws to be able to utilize plant kingdoms as their sacrament.
Okay, so when someone around the country, anywhere from the four corners, man, they're Washington State, New Hampshire, Florida, Southern California, Arizona, they get this card, they get stopped, they go through the process, eventually they make it to court, there's going to be some county prosecutors going to go, damn it, okay, charges dropped. Is that what you're hoping?
That's not what I'm hoping. That's what's being done right now, as you and I are talking.
Okay, now I just want to, you know, I just want everybody to know that that may very well be the case. But the one thing that I'm concerned of is this. Law enforcement will add on a bunch of other charges. I mean, heck, you were in law enforcement, and you know.
Yeah.
You know they lie to get whatever the heck it is they want to make their point, respect my authority. And will they or will they not try and make it rough on them?
In Utah, they're not. Mainly because I set such a strong precedent. And but other countries, but there are certain counties that are still making the mistake, but as soon as it gets to the prosecuting attorney, they won't even charge it. We had one man that was up in the mountains on U.S. Forestry lands that was utilizing his sacrament, which was cannabis, and a forest ranger came up and gave him a ticket and confiscated some of his cannabis. He went to court about a couple weeks later, and the prosecuting attorney came up to U.S. prosecuting came up to him and said, "We're not going to carry on by charging you for this at all. We're dropping the charges. We're not even submitting it to the judge." And the kid argued with him for about 15 minutes. Says, "I want to stand up for my constitutional rights, and I want to go to court, and I want that judge to hear me." And after about 15 minutes of it, finally the prosecuting attorney said, "You don't get it, kid. I'm not even giving it to the judge. He's not even going to listen to you. We're not going to prosecute."
Okay, so now we have, because you were law enforcement. You know that a lot of them aren't going to take this sitting down. They'll make up other stuff. You know, finally, after they start going through a regular process of, we can't get them on this, they make stuff up. You know, so
well, they can, but you got the court of law. But the thing is, here's the real catcher, is there's a laws against violating a church's or anybody's civil liberties. And those laws, especially if you do it under the color of law, you can put a judge in prison. And so there's no nonsense about that. And that's the reason in Utah, they're walking real lightly.
Okay. I just want to put that out. I'm with you. You know, I think it's a great idea and people should consider this. I just want to make sure people know, don't think that a piece of paper and a card is going to protect you from getting tasered, okay? You know, this is...
That's probably true. But what I'm saying to you, that card gives you a legal leg that is almost unquestionably effective.
Okay, so if I go ahead and I go online right now and I want to go get my card... You know, is there a cost? I mean, I'm joining the church and I'm getting some goodies from you. You're going to want something from me, a name, address, a phone number, an email, something, and, some money, too, I imagine.
Yeah, it's $200, and it's one-time fee or one-time contribution. That's it. And then we ask you, there's an application you fill out, so we have you on file. And eventually our cards will have a bar on it, so that if a police officer questions whether you truly belong, they can scan it and they can find out, you know, yeah, he is. This is the date he had the card, or he was assigned the card. This is the name of the person. This is the number on the card, the whole thing.
Yay, so I'm in a national, I get the smoke weed database.
As far as I'm concerned, those laws are unconstitutional anyway, so I don't give a hoot. I want that war on drugs over, period. Just like my fellow 10,000 other ex-law enforcement agents people, we want this thing over.
Okay, well, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I'm glad we got a chance to talk, and I know you're serious about this, and this has got Thomas. He's all worked up, you know, AKA Morpheus, man. He's all over this thing. And he sees it as a way to just, you went through all the hard work, you got this. The designation, I seen the articles on Freedom's Phoenix, in fact, where you're breaking the story there, and I go, wow, this is cool. I mean, you're going out and smoking out in front of the court or whatever and making your point, and I'm going, okay, you know, I get it, but I'm telling you, you know, I just want to make sure that the audience knows that it is an activist thing, in my opinion, and it is standing up for your rights, and it's making use of what's been accomplished by someone just like James Mooney, that multiple generations, great-great-grandfathers have been, I mean, this is like a movie. You know, so I'm sure there's somebody in Hollywood getting ready to do all this. You're going to be played by, you know, really good-looking people. You know, I can see this coming. So you go to today's archive. I tell you what, Sierra, go ahead and do an individual story at the top of Freedom's Phoenix that has this along with the ability to go ahead and join the church. Have it as the top one. So within 5 minutes, we'll have this up. Everybody can go there. Look, join the church if we get to, you know, take Mother Earth's sacrament. That we can go, because it's natural, it's been government approved, and you can do it by joining the American Native Church of, go ahead and give out the name of the church.
Arkansas Native American Church, its website is nativeamericanchurch.net.
NativeAmericanChurch.net, and we'll get you the link so you can get right straight to. And you know, I'm really glad you came on. We got a chance to talk to you. Hold on a second, I want to talk to you some more. We'll be right back tomorrow on Declare Your Independence. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved.
Lake County Community Radio.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
You are in tune to 88.1 FM KPFZ Lake County Community Radio. Stay tuned for Gorilla Radio.
Right? What do you want to do tonight?
Heroin. Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Heroin. Try to take over
the financial systems in the United States and in much of the rest of the world.
Your brain.
Food supply and
body.
With the nuclear.
Your family.
Russia, China, India, and Uzbekistan. Indonesia, Brazil.
Korea?
Sure.
Yeah, why do you say that?
They're trouble.
They're trouble? Yep, okay. What's trouble about them?
Their attitude.
Canada.
Sri Lanka.
Some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. This is man there to drink my wine. Come and dig my earth. None will level.
Welcome to Gorilla Radio on KPFZ 88.1 FM Lake County Community Radio. I'm Conrad with my co-host Daniel in the studio.
Hello, everybody.
And today at 10 minutes past the hour, we will be hearing from James Warren Flaming Eagle Mooney, official speaker for LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and defendant in the state of Utah versus the Oklava Native American Church. A groundbreaking case affirming that members of the Native American Church can legally consume, transport, and grow church sacraments of earth-based medicines such as mushrooms, cannabis, peyote, and ayahuasca. But first, we're going to take a look at the headlines with Daniel Dillinger.
Yes, indeed. Well, we saw a very event-filled week for Monsanto as they were hacked by an underground hacker group called Anonymous. In an operation that they dubbed Operation Green Rights. The notorious hacktivist collective released the names, addresses, emails, and phone numbers of more than 2,500 Monsanto employees and affiliates. The group has claimed to have discovered vulnerabilities that allowed it to take down Monsanto mail servers during the extraction of potentially sensitive data. The motives for the attack were unstated, but later on it was revealed that on one of their propaganda sites that Monsanto food is poison, all GMO food is actually poison that is produced in an attempt to kill you. Anonymous also hacked the Church of Scientology, Gene Simmons, and related groups hacked the CIA and British bank sites.
British bank sites?
British bank sites.
Wow. This is Operation Green Rights.
This is Operation Green Rights that began with the attack of Monsanto. In a counteroffensive, Dutch police and FBI and British Scotland Yard have arrested a bunch of teenagers who are loosely affiliated with the group, though according to some of the journalists that have been following the movement, the group is actually much larger than the FBI is admitting. And the teenagers are generally the easy targets for law enforcement because they do not anonymize themselves properly on the internet. And that is that. As far as the Murdoch emails are concerned, this was a pretty clear smackdown on the part of, well, basically the banks. Murdoch and his Murdoch's son actually ended up hacking the British royal family, and that's a really big no-no. British royal family is a member of the Bavarian Illuminati, along with many of the bankers, and the bankers are, as you know, have all the holdings for all the media companies. So a lot of media moguls think that they have power, and this was basically an indication to media moguls all over the world that it is the bankers who hold the power in this matter. Okay, now I guess we're going to talk about...
Thank you. Thank you very much, Daniel.
The rights.
And today we have James Warren, Flaming Eagle Mooney with us. James spent more than a decade in state law enforcement and the State Department of Corrections, during which he was a zealous enforcer of the drug war. James was told by his supervisor that during his time undercover, he took down more people for drug charges than all the other confidential informants in the state of Utah combined. In 1993, he was given the Citizens Award of Commendation from the state of Utah, signed by Governor Mike Leavitt. But his decade of ardent drug law enforcement also gave James the perspective that finally made him see he was not solving any problem, and in fact, he was making it worse. Now he is an active opponent of the war on drugs, as well as an official speaker for LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. James is a well-respected expert and leader in health, substance abuse, and corrections. A Seminole Indian, James was dedicated at age 4 to do the Creator's work as a medicine man. Many of the American Indian ceremonies he facilitates deal with substance, physical, emotional abuse, and other unresolved debilitating issues that block healing and empowerment behaviors. As a co-founder of the Oklava Native American Church, ONAC, James has several roles through which he attempts to correct some of the damage the war on drugs has perpetrated upon American families. In addition to his role as an American Native elder, Seminole medicine man, James serves as the director of the Recidivism Reduction Clergy Program of ONAC. In James' opinion, the war on drugs is presently the largest contributing factor to the disruption of the American family unit. ONAC is dedicated in doing everything in its power to heal the destruction of the war on drugs that it has perpetuated upon our families. Supreme Court decisions, both federally and in the state of Utah, make it possible for the Oklava Native American Church members to legally consume, transport, and grow church sacraments of magic mushrooms, cannabis, peyote, and ayahuasca. James Mooney was a prime defendant in one of these cases, and I want to welcome James to Guerrilla Radio. Are you there?
I sure am.
Hey, thank you so much for being here.
Greetings.
Is there anything that you would like to add to your introduction?
Well, much of what you expressed is really not something I've actually said or proclaimed, even though everything that you said, in my opinion, is very, very true. And the biggest problem or the biggest challenge that we're facing at this time, because of the sacrifices of my American Native culture and the many elders that have stood up for their constitutional rights and being able to worship in their earth-based healing religion, which is the only church or the only organization that's recognized by the United States government that is practicing off of the Indian Reservation, is Aqua the Native American Church, which is actually a representative of the indigenous culture of the United States of America.
And so tell me, the Oklava Native American Church, how did this begin? What's the history of this of the Native American Church movement?
Well, the Native American Church movement actually started from a legal point of view in 1876 when the House of Representatives and the Senate and then it was signed into law underneath the Dawes Act and in a relationship with the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. And in that proclamation, or not proclamation, but law, made it very clear that the Native American Church, or at this time, American Native spirituality, was totally integrated with the earth. And so, and that it was also healing. And so what really was being made, signify and acknowledge that the entire American Native culture is intertwined with the earth. And what that really meant, and by that ruling, and subsequent rulings since then, and laws, have established very clearly that Native American indigenous ceremonies or spiritual beliefs is integrated with the earth as a earth-based healing religion. And when you have that understanding, that means that every plant that is grown on the earth is considered sacred to the Native American spiritual beliefs and also can be used legally as a sacrament. And the laws and the court rulings all the way to the United States Supreme Court under UDB versus the United States, and then the case with Aqua, the Native American Church in the state of Utah, the Supreme Court, and also Boyle versus the United States in about 1990, all unanimous rulings saying you cannot legislate spirituality by race, nor can you dictate to a religion, which is a basic principle of the First Amendment, that you cannot dictate any process or ideology of a religious practice. So therefore, it makes every plant available to Aqua, the Native American Church participants or members that they have fall underneath the First Amendment that they can grow, partake, transport their sacrament anywhere in the United States. And under the RLUIPA law, Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000, makes it very clear that interstate commerce, you cannot interfere with religious practices that transport their items from one state to Indian reservations to other nations. It's very clear. The only challenge, and this is what I'm really about, is to really, I really want to end the prohibition of drugs in the United States. It's just, it's in my mind, looking at it from every direction a citizen could possibly look at, from law enforcement to being a father and a grandfather and being very concerned about the public in which I reside in, that this war on drugs is just devastating. It is the biggest, largest perpetrator of disrupting the family that I know of. And far as I'm concerned, the laws on the surrounding substances is basically a racial, which is also a unconstitutional process. And the laws themselves are unconstitutional. But you cannot fight the influences that are influencing our legislators to keep these laws going. And so you have to find a way that is legitimate to be able to make these laws new. And nobody is going to fight the First Amendment. Catholics will not fight it. Leadership of the Catholic religion will not fight it. Leaders of the Mormon Church will not fight it. Leaders of the Christian Coalition, they will not fight the First Amendment. So all that's needed to be done now is educate the people that if they belong to a Native American church or they're a member of a federally recognized Native American tribal government, they are the only people that can possibly go under the First Amendment and to be able to exercise their rights without having a government agency interfere.
The latest ruling said that this now extends to non-Native people as well.
Absolutely.
How do you... also, I had just to see if I'm understanding this right, in 1876, you said that was the declaration of the Native American Church as an officially recognized religion?
No, it wasn't the church. It was the spirituality of American Native people.
Okay. That's,
and President Grant signed that into law.
All right.
After it went to the Senate and the House of Representatives. And it was under the Dawes Act. And you can look it up. It's under the under the aspect of the Dawes Act that had relationship to the Rosebud Reservation.
That's the D-A-A-S, Dawes Act, is that right?
D-A-W-E-S.
D-A-W-E-S.
Yeah. But that really doesn't make, I just gave you the history.
Okay.
But in 1918, when the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is basically influenced, and today, still influenced by religious organizations that want to squash any type of religious spiritual practice that preaches or that its messages don't go to another human being to get your sanctification with God. Go directly to the your Creator face-to-face. It's like Chief... Quanon Parker, early 1900s, made a very profound statement just before the Native American Church was incorporated in 1918. He made a statement. He said, if the white man goes into his churches to talk about Jesus Christ, we go into our teepee to talk to him face to face. And so other religions that believe and teach that they need a pope or somebody like that to intercede with the Great Spirit, a religious practice where they teach you to just go to the source itself without any counselor, you might say. That's a very intimidating persuasion, and most religious organizations that are proselyting will say, you know, they're enemies. We got to make an outlaw against them. And so in the early 1800s, when they set up the reservation, many of the reservations were put in charge of different Christian organizations to supervise and to help the natives to overcome their culture, you might say, and buy into the religious precepts that they were talking about. And so they did everything in the world to outlaw the spirituality. And the way our spirituality is practiced is through our ceremony. And so they outlawed the ceremonies on tribal government. And so around 1918, my great-grandfather, James Mooney, who was an entheologist for the Smithsonian Institute, argued in front of the House of Representatives in 1918 and said, because the Bureau of Indian Affairs were trying to outlaw the entire American Native culture and their ceremonies. And so he stood up and fought it, and it actually passed the House of Representatives where he argued. But then when it got to the Senate, they used my great-grandfather's argument and presented it in the Senate, and they killed the bill. And that was the last time a government agency had attempted to outlaw the American Native culture until 2000, when the state of Utah tried to outlaw Oklahoma Native American Church. Mm-hmm. And then the Utah Supreme Court, again, as they've done over and over again, said, what are you doing? Trying to legislate religious practices by race and by a political affiliation, because they're saying that the only Native American people or ancestry of Native American ancestry and that are also members of the federally recognized tribes are the only ones the only people that can possibly practice this religion. I mean, how absurd. But that's what they try to do. And that's what the American Native culture, or not American Native culture, but the culture of the United States, the citizenship, that's what they believe. They believe that Sweat Lodge is only for American Native people. That's obnoxious. Indigenous people throughout the world have been practicing the Sweat Lodge ceremony from the beginning of time, as well as utilizing herbs as their sacrament from the beginning of time. And so that whole argument is just nonsense, but people that bought into it, like, I think it's just a normal thing, you know? And it's just like, how many years ago was it that women couldn't vote, for goodness sake? I mean, this obnoxious stupidity is ingrained into our consciousness, just like it was in 1900, that women weren't smart enough or didn't have the abilities to be able to make a wise decision on who's going to be a president of the United States, where they couldn't even vote. I mean, I don't know why stupidity just seems to grow rather than wisdom and understanding and respect.
And the case, State of Utah versus the Native American Church, can you describe like how this case began and kind of what happened in this case?
Well, yes. Basically, it was promoted by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, okay, and basically through their one of their legal people, which is called NARF, Native American Rights Fund. Native American Rights Fund was started and implemented by, it's a law firm. It's out of Colorado, and they have this proclamation to the world that they're a friend of the American Native culture. And in reality, they're the most, in my opinion, the most corrupt and they're just a corrupt organization. And they say that they're there to help the Native American culture and stuff, but they've done no more to try to destroy it than any one organization I can find. But the owner or the founder of that is a fellow by the name of John Echohawk. And then now his brother, who is also an attorney and who was the Attorney General of Idaho, which is kind of interesting, Mr. Echohawk is now the Director of Bureau of Indian Affairs. Mm-hmm. And so in all reality, it was the Bureau of Indian Affairs that persuaded the legislatures or the sheriff's department of Utah County and the state of Utah to bust or to invade to a church, which was the Oklahoma Native American Church. The property was owned by the Native American Church. It was bought with cash, which was 5 acres, and they just didn't honor because of the influence of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, that this was not a legitimate church, even though we were founded and blessed by the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. And they totally ignored that. And when they found out that I was legitimate, after they raided the church, they had two choices. They could just say, whoops, we made a mistake, or let's arrest him and his wife in hopes that they will plea bargain. And so they chose the latter. They arrested my wife and I, and we would not plea bargain. And it went to the Utah Supreme Court, whereupon the Utah Supreme Court unanimously decided made their decision. What the frick are you doing? You can't do this. And so they unanimously ruled in our favor.
And just to be clear, we're talking about a unanimous ruling affirming indigenous spirituality and in the view that all life is sacred, all plants are sacred, the earth is sacred, but this...
No, they didn't talk about that.
No.
That particular rule didn't do that.
Okay.
But the ruling says basically you cannot legislate, and the laws of the land are stated very clearly that you cannot legislate. Government agencies have no legal authority to legislate and demand that a church base their membership on race. I mean, that's what the argument is.
There's
another case. It's called UDV, which is Ayahuasca Church, which went through all the way. It started in New Mexico, and the DEA had raided this church and took all of its sacraments and put there.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Somebody's I guess I'm trying to. But anyway, so the president of that church immediately put an injunction onto the United States government, and the United States government fought it all the way because ayahuasca is a Schedule I narcotic also. And his whole stand was underneath the same laws that protect peyote or protect the Native American church. And so, and there's about three or four of those are amended laws, and he won unanimously again. So therefore, you have a legal precedent with the United States Supreme Court saying you cannot legislate spirituality or the use of any earth-made plant. You cannot legislate it. They make the choice that they want. A church can make a Native American church has the choice of utilizing tulips as a sacrament if they want. Nobody can say anything about it. They have no legal authority to deal with it, period.
Religious rights trumps the Controlled Substances Act.
Absolutely. Totally. Completely. And, you know, I there's something else that's really... very profound, and why our legislators are not listening. Here you have a 10,000-person organization within the league. I mean, these are lawyers, these are attorneys, these are undercover agents, these are governors, these are prosecuting attorneys. They're legislators, and they all are just trying to tell everybody this war on drugs is just idiotic. And because of the people like NARF, people like that are making so much money, and especially our own judicial system. I mean, keep in mind, 70% of all of the court actions and people who are incarcerated have something to do with drugs. So if you eliminate 70%, heck almighty, you've eliminated 70% of people's income into their homes. So, I mean, there's a massive problem here. And, you know, and I don't know what the answer is other than starting educating people to let them know that there is a way that you can practice your spiritual beliefs and be protected under the First Amendment. I mean, all you need to do is be a member of a federally recognized, but the problem with the federally recognized tribes, it's controlled by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and so
federally recognized religion is key. It's any federally recognized religion. As you said, the tribal leadership has been subverted.
Well, the spiritual leaders have been subverted, but most of the leaders of the tribal governments, and I don't want to demise the tribal government because they're doing the best they can. But when you have the Bureau of Indian Affairs says, hey, you outlaw the Native American ceremonies on your reservations, they're going to do it. And so in 1918, because that's what they were doing, they were trying to outlaw the religious practices on the reservation. And so in 1918, after that argument, and they were able to outweigh the thoughts that were trying to outlaw, to make a law against Native American spirituality, then my great-grandfather persuaded the Native American spiritual leaders in Oklahoma to incorporate Akala, the Native American Church, so they would be, or not Akala, but the Native American Church, so they would be protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution. And so that happened, but now, because of people like NARF and the Bureau of Indian Affairs is trying to, and has successfully, squashed anybody understanding how powerful and how wonderful the Native American Church can be. And so the campaign is trying to cloud their understanding of what 1918 was really about, and what that 1918 law, or not law, but incorporation of the Native American Church actually opened the door to other races to be able to partake of the spirituality of the Native American Church in a legal manner.
And so for like a federally recognized tribal member, is it necessary for tribal members to like incorporate a church in order to claim these descendants?
No. The way the laws are written, if you are a member of the Native, if you are a member of a federally recognized Native American tribal government or reservation, you fall under these protections. However, Bureau of Indian Affairs has got the governments of those to outlaw this. It's no longer peyote because of the stand that we've taken, but the federally recognized tribal people and spirituality still don't have the full rights of what their medicines have taught them for generations and generations of time, because they don't see any plant that is illegal to use, because it's a plant and it's part of the earth. And so, but the tribal governments, because of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, has outlawed like marijuana and usage of other plants. And so, so that's the reason that I have actual medicine people from federally recognized tribes that have asked to have churches so that they can practice all of the medicines that they have in a legal manner on and off of the federal reservation. We have numerous of people that have done that.
And how extensive is the American, Native American Church, like globally? Like how many tribes are uniting under this particular legal framework, so to say?
Well, I can't even say if that's what's being done. I'm just saying I've had individuals from the Navajo people who've done that. I have people of the Navajo that send people to me to get a card because their tribe will not allow them to have a Native American church card, so they can't worship. And so they get a card from me, and then they go back to the Navajo people, and they're able to legally help these people out. So that's what's interesting about the Native American church. It's really not a set ideology. They are very self-sufficient in the sense, if you want to answer to a question, you ask God himself. You know, and so if you're in trouble, pray to God, he'll help you out. You know, don't go to me, type of a thing.
Yes.
Very independent. It's not, it's very, very, all the responsibility for your spirituality and what happens in your life is totally on your shoulders, period.
That sounds like the best religion to me.
Absolutely. And,
so where can I join?
Yes, yes. I mean, how...
Well, yeah. You know, this is not to promote Aqua, the Native American Church. These are things that you've asked me about me personally. But if people want to know how to become part of the member of the Native American Church, have them email me, and then I'll email them out to what how they can go about doing that. Okay.
And is your email, is it James Knack? James Knack?
James, NAC at MSN.com.
That's very gracious.
Awesome. Beautiful. And, hey, James, you mind if we take a call?
Sure.
Hey, we have a caller on line one. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Great.
Hey, I wanted to just get right to what was just said about the kind of root of the church, if you want to call it that, being individuality, the individual's relationship with the earth and the creator, whatever you have, whatever language you want to use. And then Danielle said, you know, where can I join? I wanted to just really veer off to that area because I think it's really important to, especially I know a lot of local indigenous folks would really take offense to this notion that a bunch of folks were going to maybe come and join or try to join up with these churches in the effort to, well, seek their freedom, whatever they think it is. And I think it's important for people to realize that the real next step in the courts needs to be the living conscience of each individual. That's where your religion is. I mean, it doesn't have a name. It's just alive in you. That's got to be where the courts have to recognize the ultimate First Amendment rights, if you want to call them that. And so I would hope that, you know, sorry to use this language, but I hope that a lot of white folks, especially, would try to see this really important work that your guest is doing in a further direction for their individuality, not to just climb on board another train, right, but to use it in a way to express their own individual living conscience without a tag, without a federally recognized deer tag. You are alive. You should be recognized for your conscience. And if your conscience, like mine is directly connected to the earth, that's got to be recognized.
Absolutely. I agree with you to a large extent. Sure. Go on. Please.
James, go ahead.
Who is the speaker? I don't know his name.
Actually, I did a federal case. You could look me up. It's under Kaczynski versus Ashcroft under this exact issue. I was a plaintiff, though, not a defendant.
I just want to know your name, your first name.
Oh, Ron.
Okay, Ron. Ron, first of all, your statements are like music to my ears. And as a matter of fact, you've taken it another step further, which I think is extremely wise and very bright, is that right now it can be the Native American Church unequivocally has these particular rights. But in all reality, what you stated, it is an individual. Every human being, every two-legged person that walks in the borders of the United States of America has the exact same rights the people that belong to the Native American Church or on federally recognized Native American Indian tribe. And when we start to realize and the consciousness in our legislatures and everybody that's associated that wants to have peace and happiness in their lives will begin to realize that every breath we take in, every morsel we put into our mouth is a sacrament. And this body that we carry around is a temple. And nobody has the right to lay their hand upon that temple unless there is a compelling interest standard that they can prove. And the compelling interest standard is meaning that you have an intent and are exercising a disrespect to somebody else's path or body or whatever.
Hey, my hat's off to you, bro. Thanks a million.
Hey, thanks for calling. All right. And the phone number here is 263-3435 if you want to call in, ask a question, or make a comment. Again, the phone number is 707-263-3435. And we have another phone call on line one. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, we're talking to God.
Hey, caller.
Face to face.
Caller.
No, you're talking to Alan from Upper Lake, but I just had to turn the radio down.
All right.
Hey, yes, with the Native American Church, you know, one of the main reasons why that got scrunched down was because of the use of sacraments such as peyote, mescaline, and one of the things that they found is people that are involved with the church They're not involved with the abuse of peyote. They're not involved with the sales because it's not central to the, quote, religion, which wasn't even, most of the tribes out, none of the tribes out here had an actual word for religion. There was no special day set aside because every day you walk with the Creator. And as you were mentioning earlier about the sacrament, the Church of the Seven Directions, we have seven directions to where we experience life. In front of us, which is where we mostly see our and focus our attention, in front, behind, to the left, to the right, and up and down. But if you're looking for the Creator further than the end of your nose, you're already looking too far, because God is within us. And that's the way the Native American religion was, with everything was connected.
Yes, absolutely.
And you have to look at the fact that the BIA is run by white boys.
Right now the director is
basically
a Native American person.
It's finally starting to get, maybe that way where indigenous Native Americans will have a little bit more say in all those frozen funds that have been tied up. Is what, $2.8 billion? So they say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to comment on that. The United States government or government agencies have utilized other Indians to the demise of people making these stands. And if you want to think about it, really, going back to the Lakota Sioux, which I'm very closely associated with, not their government, but their spiritual people, you got to remember, because Sitting Bull would not sign that peace treaty, or Crazy Horse, they both were killed, and they were killed by Native American people. So because some leadership is being done with Native Americans doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen.
And unfortunately, they weren't even killed on the war field. They were killed by set up skirmishes.
That's right.
By the military. It was all a setup. But I've done time and I've watched how the CDC interacts with the Norteños and Serenos, and how they set up another riot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The COINTELPRO was a program that was really instituted by the cavalry to get natives against each other. Yeah, it was quite horrendous. And,
well, to answer your intent of your statement, because it was actually more of a statement, the real answer is not to having Native American people in positions of power. That's not it. What it really is that the public, each individual person, gathers up the strength to stand up for their constitutional rights, to practice their religious practices and spiritual practices as the Constitution outlines. And when that happens, then you're going to have some change. And the first thing that has to come about is people need to be educated and know what the laws really are, and then have the courage to stand up for what is true.
If spirituality were an officially recognized religion, that would take care of the problem right away.
Absolutely. But you got to have... We need 2 or 3 million people that are standing up, united, saying, hey, wake up. This is the fact of life.
It's like how we're changing from global warming to climate change. Let's get rid of the word religion and go to spirituality.
That's
internally,
right.
And externally, how we deal with that inner awareness and God and spirit, creator love that we're actually part of, and get away from these other people on pedestals that tell you how to live and what to do and exactly do it this way, because if you don't do it this way, it's the wrong way.
So how do we get spirituality protected by the Constitution? That's
It's already there.
Religion
you just don't
there.
Have anybody standing up for it, except for a few people. We've got a fellow by the name of Roger Christie, who is is incarcerated by the feds right now, still there. He's been there for about 8 months, and the state of the United States government is really in a turmoil, because he is actually a Native American church, Aqaba Native American Church, and he was a Aqaba Native American Church before they raided him. And they're on notice, because when he was arrested, and their churches were raided, I notified the U.S. attorney, and they just ignored it. And so what has been going on for about, ever since, see, when they raided my church in 2000, the law enforcement agencies or the prosecutor went to the judge and didn't tell him we were a church. And so he got a judge in the United States of America that would ever put out a search warrant on a church property if they knew it was a church, unless the prosecuting attorney can prove that it meets a compelling interest standard. And there's no way in the world they can do that to Roger Christie's church or to my church or anything. And so it's all an intimidation factor that they're dealing with. And they're on notice. And Roger will not capitulate. Roger is a valiant guy, but there is a guy. You've got to get 10,000, 100,000 of people committed to having their fellow human beings understand that the Constitution is well and alive, but until people are willing to exercise it and face it up. I'm not talking about a battle. I'm not talking about a war. I'm talking about having the integrity to stand up for what's correct.
No plea That's bargaining.
No, none of that plea bargaining. If they give you a ticket or they arrest you for having peyote in your possession and you're a member of the Native American Church, there's no plea bargaining. They're wrong. And
yep.
and once they're put on notice and they know that they're wrong, you can actually put a judge in prison because of it's a violation of your civil liberty. And that's very clear. And if you violate a civil liberty of a card carrying Native American church or of a federally recognized tribe and you violate, you can under the color of law, you can put a judge in prison. That's the law.
I've attended numerous sweat lodges, meetings, kivas, and over the years, I've never attempted to, but I've seen other people try to buy, and no medicine man, sweat lodge leader, elder have I ever seen has ever allowed sales. So anytime they want to come up with that, I've never experienced it. It's only on the street. And it's stuff that was picked illegally and stuff that was picked unceremoniously, unsacramentally. And of course, when you take peyote like that and you're just looking for the high in the middle of town, you're going to run into trouble. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms, peyote, do not allow themselves to be abused like that.
Oh. You switched topics on me. I don't know.
That's what that is.
I don't know where your question or your statement is coming from. You're talking about now the misuse of our sacraments?
When you're talking about being picked up for possession and standing up for it, you know, it's how much do you have, where are you coming from? And you know, when they raided those churches, that was stuff for sacrament. That was stuff for meetings, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Roger,
they want to say that's for sales, and that's what I'm saying. I've been to many, many, many sweat lodges and meetings, and I've never, ever seen anybody ever sell. It just doesn't happen.
Or it doesn't mean that there's not money transferred because, I mean, contribution to your spirituality, I mean people are going to contribute. I mean, my goodness, there's religion. And in order for you to protect that they're sacred, the most sacred of their ceremonies, you've got to pay 10% of your whole yearly income, for goodness sake.
It takes a lot
so
to keep church
not,
going.
I mean, that's from a bona fide church.
Just like any other church that I see operate on Saturdays and Sundays.
Exactly, it takes a lot to keep a church going.
Absolutely,
period.
And so if somebody, I can't tell you how much money certain people will contribute to see things continue, I've received so much money from people that are so grateful about what the work we did, and it would choke a horse. Okay, am I going to condemn them for contributing money, or am I going to be condemned because I received income from somebody that wanted to show their gratitude? But where a thing that changes, but still, even if it does change to this to the degree, the government has no legal authority to sanction or to say this is good or bad. But
exactly. If they're well off and they choose to tithe their 10% for this week at that particular church,
I mean, it's just nonsense. But another thing, too, is that, it's hard for me to really explain the way Native American spirituality is or indigenous spirituality is. But if you ever saw the movie called Dances with Wolves, there was a real segment there that was just so profound. And one of the warriors talked to the elder who was in the teepee and said, do you think I should go and see what that guy's about that's camping out on our land? And he says, and the chief looks at him and says, or the elder looks at him and says, who am I to tell you what to do? Do whatever you want to do. You know, I mean, it's trying to tell another person what to do and how to live, and that's is really kind of a corrupt thing to do. And but our legislative system is based on the influence of its vocal constituents, and if the majority of the vocal constituents wants everybody, because we believe we have the answers the way peace and tranquility can be with everybody. So they try to force it on and through the laws, and so they make up these laws about gay marriage, and it goes on and on. You know, remember the laws were against women voting for goodness sakes for years and years and years. You know, and until the women stood up and said this is nonsense, it continued. But because there were some people with the integrity, and they just said, hey. This is over. And so people gathered together, and guess what? It changed. And it changed in a good way. It changed without people blowing up a building, without threatening people. They just made a stand. And so a lot of people fail to remember something about Vietnam. Vietnam War, we lost the Vietnam War when those monks, Buddhist monks, sat out in the middle of the street and poured gasoline over themselves and burned themselves up because of us wanting to try to impact their culture with Catholicism.
And basically they said, might as well burn up now because they're going to ruin it anyway.
Whatever it is. But they weren't striking out at somebody else and doing harm. They were showing the gravity of what the policies of South Vietnam was at that time, the gravity. And so they didn't hurt anybody else, but they figured them sacrificing themselves, and that was the end of the war for the United States of America. And from then on, it was just disastrous.
That's the way to go out of control with anger while keeping your karma good.
Absolutely. Exactly right. And striking out, when I was working in the prison system as a counselor, I would mention this, retaliation. The moment you retaliate, everybody loses because the cycle continues. And so my advice to anybody and everybody is to stand up, have the integrity, have the personal strength to stand up for what's true. Because now Aquila Native American Church is there, and it'll stay with it. It's already done its job. It's already done its job.
Hey, Alan, man, is there anything you want to say before we free up the line here?
Well, since our the caller is so the guest is so connected. Do you have any updates on Leonard Peltier and what's going on with all that?
Well, I do, because I'm really, I had a conversation with Robert Redford the other day.
Right.
Robert Redford published a documentary on the situation of Wounded Knee, and it's called Incident at Ogallala. I think that's what it was.
Ogallala.
And shows unequivocally and proves unequivocally the conviction of Mr. Peltier was just totally a wash. I mean, it was just a very strong injustice. And I got to say to you, Mr. Redford was just, tears entered his eyes. And we talked for a while, and he said we almost had him out. during the Clinton thing, and but then the Lewinsky broke over, and so that just ended it. And he said somehow, some way, we got to get that man out of prison. It is such a blight on our judicial consciousness throughout the world.
Well, here's what's going on with the feds. Since, for nefarious reasons unknown, there were many, many, many federal evidence rooms in the Twin Towers, or so they claim. So now that the Oglala Nation is going forward again to have a retrial, the federal government is saying, well, we lost all our evidence. So since we can't put up a credible defense, let's just leave the sentence as it stands.
Yeah, that could be, but that's just another thing. You see, for some reason, this the religious principles of, and it's, you know, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but anytime you have an individual or a group or an organization that abhors mentioning or insinuating they made a mistake, you got a real problem. And so instead of attempting to see what really is just, we have a system right now that rewards people that cover up.
Compounding more lies.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Compounding more lies.
Yes.
And injustice.
So I think things are beginning to start changing. Our present president of the United States, once he... I think he was in office no more than 2 months, and he said Wall Street is nothing but a culture of corruption. And then a few days later, I heard him say Washington, D.C. is nothing but a culture of corruption. So what are you saying? Holy mackerel. Our whole culture of the United States of America is relying more on corruption than it is on legitimacy.
Except for Transition Lake County.
Right. Hey, Alan Manzo, cool, but free up the line for another caller.
Hey, ho. Have a good day, folks.
Hey, thanks for calling, bro. And the phone number 263-3435. We have about 5 minutes left. We're speaking with James Warren, Flaming Eagle Mooney, official speaker for LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and a co-founder of the Oklava Native American Church. And you can go to the NativeAmericanChurch.net. For more information, and we have a phone call here real quick. Caller, you're on the air.
Conrad, this is Dennis.
Hey, what's up, Dan?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, talking about spirituality, this is my personal opinion only here, but I think it's a word that's used too loosely. I don't think there's a lot of people, including myself, I mean, I'm trying to understand what spirituality is, but a lot of what we're talking about would be probably, this is my opinion now, would be termed as like a religion or religious ceremony. It's something that, you know, we're leaning towards, we're trying to understand. You know, there's many avenues. We're all spiritual, but you know, I just thought I wanted to throw that in there because, you know, I get tired of people saying, you know, I hear this word spiritual. In my best estimation, the word spiritual is not actually the word that they should be using. You know, you kind of know where I'm getting at here. So with the different plants and things like that, it's like religious ceremony to gain a certain understanding of what spirituality might be, but it's not really spiritual.
Well, I mean, it's all semantics, man. You know, if it's just about what do you believe. But, hey, bro, man, we're running out of time here. We got to close up.
Okay, glad I could throw that in.
Hey, thanks for calling.
All right. Bye. You have a good day.
Hey, James, man, is there any last words you'd like to say here before we close up the show?
Yes, there is. I just want the... your listeners to know, there is an organization out there, and it's called LEAP. And if you really want to understand and be part of that, I would join LEAP. You don't have to be a ex-law enforcement officer to belong there. But this organization, LEAP, is going about things in a good way in doing in making a change. And what they're up against is every industry that is supported by the law on drugs, which is immense. And so my suggestion is to look up LEAP on your computer and read what all of these ex-judges and some are still working in their position, but there are over 10,000 people now, mostly law enforcement officials, that know unequivocally this war on drugs is just, it's devastating to our culture, to our reputation throughout the world. And if anything, if you really want to do something that is extremely helpful in being able to honor our Constitution in relationship to substances, support LEAP, because they are doing something in a way that will eventually make the change.
And I just want to say we are speaking with James Warren, Flaming Eagle Mooney. If you want to learn more information about what we discussed today, go to NativeAmericanChurch.net. Again, that's NativeAmericanChurch.net. This is KPFZ 88.1 FM, Lake County Community Radio. This has been Guerrilla Radio. James, I am truly honored that you're on the show today.
It's been an honor.
Thank you so much, bro, and keep up the fight. Keep up the good work, man.
Stand the fight. It's a stand.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you, guys.
All right.
Though the path is not easy, I'm grateful for this life, for the chance to behold your face again. When my sacred journey's over, when it all comes to an end, I'll end.
As Blue Water, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.